Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the January 25th Sunday Mass's first reading. It's the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year A. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. First, the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end, he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing, dispelled is darkness, for there is no gloom where but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. As they rejoice before you, as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian, the word of the Lord. So this is for the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, although since the first Sunday got lost in the liturgical calendar shuffle, it's just the second one we see in this 2026 liturgical year. We've got Isaiah again, still talking about how the Messiah is going to save the chosen people. Like, don't you have something else to talk about? I'm kidding. This is quintessential good news. So let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lecture practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying here? What is his purpose? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? Usually I focus on what the readings say to our hearts. Sometimes, though, I also aim for the head, because there's an intellectual or academic component that needs to be unlocked to better grasp the message. This is one of those readings. The heart part is simple. Isaiah is telling the Israelites that God will save his people from their oppressors, and will do so dramatically and magnificently. Proclaim this accordingly. But directly to the folks before you in the pews, whose lives feel lived under some oppression, physical disease, mental illness, behavioral addiction, substance dependency, domestic violence, financial troubles, bullying, you name it. Now here's the part that aims for the head. It's the historical context behind this reading, which is important. This text was written 700-ish BC by Isaiah during his ministry in Jerusalem. The beginning of the reading references Zebulun and Naphtali, Naphtali including the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. Zebulun and Naphtali were two sons of Jacob, whose progeny settled in regions of the northern kingdom of Israel. At the time of Isaiah's writing, these regions had been conquered by the Assyrians, and their Jewish residents marched off to Assyria and kept in captivity there. Foreigners replaced the Israelites, hence the district of the Gentiles. There's also a reference to the seaward road, which was a trade route running alongside the Mediterranean coast. It later came to be known as the Via Maris, which is Latin for, no surprise, Road of the Sea. So Isaiah is writing specifically for those held in captivity in Assyria, as well as for the chosen people in general. Be sure to read the Gospel as part of your preparation, because the Gospel of Matthew quotes this reading verbatim. Matthew wrote his Gospel specifically for a Jewish audience, who would have been very cognizant of this passage, knowing that the Messiah would have a connection to this region. So Matthew quotes our reading to prove to observant Jews that Jesus starts his public ministry in this region, in Galilee, fulfilling this prophecy. The other historical reference worthy of explanation comes at the very end of the reading, a reference to the Day of Midian. What the heck is that? This is an incident that occurred 400 or 500 years prior to Isaiah's writing here. If you read Judges chapter 6 through chapter 8, you learn the Midianites did something very similar back then to what the Assyrians did in this age, oppressing Israel for 7 years. God calls Gideon to do battle with the Midianites. So he rounds up 32,000 soldiers. But God tells him, you know what? If you win this battle, you're going to take the credit for it. So how about you send a bunch of them home? So Gideon sends 22,000 home. And then God tells him 10,000 is still too many. And he winnows them down to 300. Before Gideon attacks, he goes down to the enemy's outpost to check out his competition and sees them as being as thick as locusts. And their camels were without number, countless as the sand on the seashore. Yet, you know what happens next? Gideon totally annihilates them with only 300 men. So in the last line of the reading says, as on the day of Midian, that has real meaning for the Israelites, because that means God will liberate them now, the same far-fetched way he did 400 or 500 years earlier. What lessons do you get from this reading? It starts off, first the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the end, he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. That first line is pretty long, but read it without any breaks. First, the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. So you have first and in the end. Emphasize those words to draw the contrast between them. Similarly, emphasize degraded and glorified for the same reason. Highlight west. Because of the reference in the gospel, put a heavy emphasis on the word Gentiles, because that's going to be critical to the location where Jesus begins his ministry. In the next section, anguish has taken wing, dispelled is darkness, for there's no gloom, where but now there was distress. Emphasize anguish and dispelled, also no gloom, and there was distress. So that one line is a little bit confusing because it says, for there is no gloom, present tense, where but now there was distress. So there's a conflict between now, present, and was, past tense. But I think what Isaiah is pointing out here is the sudden and abrupt nature of this change. God's intervention occurs in the imperceptible intersection between the past and the present. Emphasize was to draw out the past tense. Use a tone of joy and remember to smile throughout this segment. Next we have, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. Quick sidebar. In this reading, the people in darkness are walking, whereas in the gospel, they're sitting. I guess maybe after walking for 700 years, they got tired and needed to sit down. Consider converting two lines in this segment from declarative statements to interrogatory ones. The people who walked in darkness, as a question, with the answer being, have seen a great light. Then, upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, as a question, and the answer being, a light has shone. When you give the answer, light up with joy. Pun intended. Use a tone of voice and facial expression that match. If you can do so authentically, add a joyous tremble to the back of your throat when you say, has seen a great light, and a light has shone. Emphasize great and the second light. In the remaining two segments of the reading, the word you shows up three times. This refers to God. God himself is their Savior and Deliverer. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. As they rejoice before you, as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. Emphasize abundant, great, rejoice, and merry. Smile through this entire segment and use a joyful tone. If you're not familiar with the reference dividing spoils, it means divvying up the plunder after conquering an enemy or after any successful venture. The next section, for the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. So again, consider rephrasing those first three lines as questions. The first two would have a slight pause afterward, and the third would have a longer pause before you answer, you have smashed. Emphasize yoke, pole, and rod. These are all symbols of Assyrian oppression. When you say you have smashed, emphasize smashed with a bold, powerful, and throaty delivery. If possible, memorize this entire segment so you can maintain eye contact with the people in the pews, specifically addressing those who feel like their lives are being lived under oppression, whatever the source. Then, as on the day of Midian, delivered unemotionally, as if you're adding a detail reading the 6 o'clock news. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the Ambo.